Translation. Please tell me whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long-cherished anger upon the sinners. The field of battle could not tolerate even the wonderful playing of his club when he stepped on the path. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura knew the strength of Bhima. Whenever Bhima was on the battlefield, his steps on the path and the wonderful playing of his club were unbearable for the enemy. Powerful Bhima did not take steps against the sons of Dhritarashtra for a long time. Vidura's inquiry was whether he had yet released his anger, which was like that of a suffering cobra. When a cobra releases its venom after long-cherished anger, its victim cannot survive. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bhachane Nivishesha Sanyavari Paschajadesha Tarne Gyanati Mirandasya Ganangana Lakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Chinatas Mashi Gurave Namaha. So I'm going to discuss this with you, devotees, and ask you some questions, which I would like you to answer in just sticking to the point that we're trying to cover. And if you are, if you're citing any evidence that you have, that if you bring up any evidences, that's wonderful. That's what we want. We want that if you make any points, then support them with evidence. And then, if we do that, I think it's important that we all look at the different evidences, because they can be variously interpreted. One thing Srila Prabhupada said is that his books, and indeed Shastra, can be seen from many angles, from different perspectives. So it's very important that we recognize that we may think something we believe to be true, but it's obviously based on our own interpretation, understanding of the evidence of scripture. So what we like to do in discussing Shastra, myself and my wife, who do this every day, when I say we, and my others in my little groups, is to drill down, to really analyze the statements that Prabhupada is making, and to give everyone the opportunity to say what they understand it to be saying. This is very important. We shouldn't just take at face value blindly that, you know, someone is saying, well, Prabhupada said, and here's the evidence, but then, okay, fine, that's good. But now let's just have a look at that together and see if we all agree on the way you're seeing it. So let me see if I've got any notes here that I can consult. Yeah. So let's start with this. What is the context here? Where are we? How did we get here at this point in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Can anyone say? Who's speaking to start with? You've all been coming, I suppose, regularly to the class. Don't be afraid, don't be shy. Even if you get it wrong, it's no problem at all. Vidura. Okay. And what's the context? How did we arrive here? Any of the ladies? This is who's he speaking to? Yeah.
He's speaking to Maitreya.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. So, yeah, Vidura is on pilgrimage. So, why is he on pilgrimage? He was offended. Yeah. He was offended in the court in Hastinapur. And then he left on pilgrimage. Exactly. And how did he arrive at this situation now, then? What were the sequence of events? Can anyone understand, remember? among the ladies. Have any of you been coming to class on a regular basis? Maybe not. So you're probably not familiar. Have you read this section of the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah? anyone? Can anyone say how we've arrived here? It came from Maitreya. It's the other way around. He meets Uddhava first, right? And then Uddhava sends him to Maitreya. What happened is, if we go back to the first canto, 1.13.1, then we hear this. Sutta Goswami said, while traveling on a pilgrimage, Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya, and then returned to Hastinapur. He became as well-versed in the subject as he desired. So this is the first time we are introduced to Vidura in the Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami mentions his name. And then as a result of that, Shunaka then becomes inquisitive. He's mentioned, you know, Maitreya, Vidura meeting Maitreya. This obviously must be something of great import and spiritual significance. So he asks a question, but that doesn't come for a little while, because Sutta Goswami proceeds with his narration after that. And then we get Shonaka asking him a question at the very end of the second canto. Let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Also, please let us know the reason for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members and why he again came home. Please also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage. So this is the conversation between Sutta and the sages, right? Which frames the whole Bhagavatam. So after Shunaka asked this question, how did Sutta reply? What did he say? Anyone, yeah. What was Sutta's response to this? If you know, go ahead.
He starts by explaining what happened in Hastinapur. As far as I remember, he's saying that after they offended Krishna came for the for peace talks, and they offended him. Dhritarashtra was very concerned that, oh my God, now we've blown it. So he asked Vidura to give him advice what to do. Vidura says, immediately disown your son, or get him to apologize and give back the fund of his kingdom.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened, yeah, in Hastinapur. Who asked him to come here? This son of a kept mistress. He speaks against those who maintain him. Who does he think he is? This insolence. And then yeah, so then he departed. He was actually a Kshatriya, of course. I mean, he was a mixed caste, wasn't he, really? But he was expected. He would have been expected to fight on behalf of the Kauravas, which of course he didn't want to do. So he took that as an opportunity to get out of that, and he left. And symbolically, he leaves his bow. That's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But yeah, what actually happens is that's all true. That's what happened. But we go into the Shukadeva Parikit dialogue, because Sutta says that I will relate to you the conversation as it occurred between Shukadeva and Parikit, where these incidents are described. So we hear them, and it's in this chapter, that directly from the lips of Shukadeva, as he speaks to Parikit. So, but before, what does he do before he he explains, because what this is, again, this is what Shaunaka asked. Let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what did Maitreya say in return? So then he relates Shukadev, and Shukadev says what he says to Parikit, because Parikit has asked him a number of questions. Do you know where he asked those questions? Canto chapter 8. Yeah, chapter 8 is questions by Parikit in second canto. There's a whole long list. He goes through all these questions. Shukadev answers a few. And then he says, I'll answer the rest by citing a conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. So this is where he now starts speaking about them. But before he does that, what does he do? It's in this chapter. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Excellent, yes, yes. So, yes, exactly right, yes. So Shukadev says that what he does first is he wants to explain the background. So he explains how Vidura came to meet Maitreya in the first place. So, Vidura sets off and he somehow, by the Lord's arrangement, encounters Uddhava, as you say. That's the first thing. So then there's a description here in this chapter of that meeting. Then Vidura, he begins to ask his questions. So what's his questions? What's he asking? What's Vidura asking from Uddhava? Yeah. He wants to know. Did you want to say? Yeah. Confirmed. Do you want to close that? Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he wants to know. He'd heard rumors because he'd gone on pilgrimage prior to the battle. So, of course, the rumors had spread about the total destruction of the entire Kaurava dynasty and all the Pandavas, barring the Pandavas themselves, a few others. So he asked Uddhava, and he in a mood of like, oh, can this really be true? Please tell me it's not true. In his heart, he knew it was true, but, he's asking Uddhava. So, yeah, Uddhava is relating what happened. So Vidura's asking the questions, what happened to the Yadus, what happened to Krishna and Balaram and everything. So that's where we are being told. This is where we're being told these things now by Uddhava. Or we're going to be. This is, first of all, Vidura's questions. So here's one of his questions. Please tell me whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long-cherished anger upon the sinners. So why was Bhima angry? What does this mean, his long-cherished anger? Calm down. Yeah, you're saying that, first of all, the Asat Sabha, the assembly where Draupadi was insulted, that was like rankling him. And he'd wanted, for a long time, he had wanted to annihilate them. And you know, rip out Dhritarashtra's heart and drink his blood and kill all the other brothers, all 90 or 100 of them. So that was one thing. Yes, that's absolutely correct. What else was there that annoyed him?
Mm.
Yeah. So he's saying it began even in their childhood. Yes. Yes. Well, you said he was bullying them. Was he really bullying them? Yeah, he was hurling them around and thrusting them under the river and shaking them out of the trees and stuff like that. Yeah, did you want to say something? Yeah.
Anyone who's had young boys, you know, they like to wrestle and play in pine trees and they're very competitive. So all the princes were playing like this together. The problem was that Bhima always won. The entire 100 brothers would gang up on him to try to beat him. He still lived and whipped their ass.
Ass whippings. Yeah.
Mm.
It was just boyish pranks, playing, and that's what the Kshatriyas would do anyway. They would fight. Sometimes they would, it would get really heated, and they, you know, someone would die. I mean, that's the way they are. That's their nature, you know. So he was, yeah. I mean, he was just stronger than them, and that did start some resentment and anger from Duryodhan, which led to a specific incident. The poisoning, yeah, when they went once for a pleasure excursion, and they had this enormous feast, and then Duryodhan laced it with immense amounts of poison. But then what happened after that? As a result of that turned to Bhima's favour, didn't it, in one way? Because, do you know?
They throw him in the lake after
poisoning
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, we've taken you captive here. Take a sip of this.
Yeah.
Once it gives you enough strength, 100 elephants, I think, something like that. 10,000. And so he actually comes back stronger. So he was supposed to be dead, but he actually comes back.
Comes back stronger, yeah. Yeah, he sank. He was bound hand and foot. And then he ended up somehow in Nagaloka through some mystic passageway he went. And yeah, the Nagas gave him this this nectar drink that gave him all that power.
I just want to add a little detail to what Vrindavan said, that when he was floating and like comatose from the boat that had been given, he was being carried down to this undercurrent.
Yeah.
The snakes, the Naga snakes, began biting him. They saw this human body and they began biting
him. Yeah.
And their poison countered the poison that Duryodhan gave.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If you somehow manage to make it down to Bilasvarga, they won't take kindly to it. they'll have a go at you. So, they, as my wife said, the Nagas were, they bit him, so that somehow their poison counteracted the poison of that he'd been administered. Yeah. And then he woke up, and then he was thrashing the Nagas, right. So what other incidents were there after that? There were further incidents that all these things were in Bhima's head, that, you know, the things that they'd done. And in fact, that they're in the Mahabharata, of course, but they're just some. It said actually these things are just some of the incidents. It was continual that they were being harassed by, you know, the Kauravas. But there was something else. What else was there? Any other incidents you can remember? Go ahead. The burning of the Lack House, yeah. And where was that? Begins with a V. Varanavata, yeah. Isn't that where the impersonalists are now? Kind of, that's their headquarters, right? The Varanavata. Yeah, so that was another time. They were they contrived, like Duryodhan contrived to have them sent away and then built this house of lacquer, completely inflammable, the whole thing, and then set light to it. Well, they were intending to set light to it, but how did they find out? How did the Pandavas find out that this was going on? Vidura, yeah, Vidura told them. And so they were prepared and ready, and they indeed burned the house themselves and made their escape through a tunnel into the surrounding forest. If you have any questions about any of this as we go, please don't hesitate to ask. So then other things are mentioned. What other incidents are there? Banishing, yeah, that was definitely something. But that came after, didn't it? The Asat Sabha, sorry? A gambling match, yeah. There's a verse, 1824, which is Queen Kunti speaking. And she says, "My dear Krishna, Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Kijai, Shishi Gornitai Kijai." Hare Krishna. "My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama." So, yeah, when did she say this? This Queen Kunti? Pardon? Krishna's leaving, yeah. Yeah. This is after everything, yeah. And he's about to depart. And he just saved them again. What had happened there? Just before that, before he left. It's mentioned here. Ashwatthama, yeah. Somehow Ashwatthama had managed to release the Brahmacharya. This is after he'd actually been bound up and dragged before Yudhisthira and had his top jaw cut off, right, and sent into the forest. He must have had some residual power left. A little bit left, enough, just enough for him to hurl this Brahmastra to try and kill. Who was he trying to kill? Bricket, yeah, Bricket, yeah, exactly. Because that's how he got his name, isn't it? Bricket. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He was intending to kill all of them. Especially Parikit, though, because he was thinking, well, the last, you know, they killed our dynasty, I'll kill theirs. Yeah. So the Lord then, there's different accounts of that Parikit was actually burned to ashes and then the Lord restored him back to life. And then, but I think in the Bhagavatam that we have, it says that he appeared there whirling his chakra, and he neutralized the... So either way, he saved his life. And then after that, and the Prickett saw him in the womb, right? And then he's got that name of the searcher. He's always looking. Is this the person who saved me? Is this the person who saved me? Which is Lord Vishnu, of course. So these are the reasons why he was angry. Especially, of course, the vicious assembly, where Draupadi was cruelly insulted by Dushasan and all of them, really. And they attempted to disrobe her. So that in particular, obviously on top of it, and that was where he made his terrible vow that he would kill Dushasan, because he was the one who dragged her by his hair. So, yeah, why did he not release his anger? It's long cherished, you know. What was preventing him from actually immediately, like, I mean, you'd think right there and then, right, when Draupadi was insulted in such a way that he would have wasted no time and destroyed them. But he didn't. And none of the Pandavas actually took action. It's a little hard to understand, isn't it, really? It's like, why not? You know, this is their wife, you know, their Kshatriyas. So why didn't they? Was there a good reason? Not the right time or the right place, yeah. They'd lost their independence, and they were now shudras almost. They were like servants, right? So they couldn't do anything for that reason. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was concerned that, you know, this will turn into a conflagration which will destroy the world. And he'd been told, as you say, by Narad. Narad had predicted that there would be a great war that would destroy all the Kshatriyas. And so he didn't want to be the cause of that. So that really was, he'd made that vow that he would always be obedient to his elders. And of course, Dhritarashtra was silent during the whole thing when Draupadi was being insulted. Not only he was eagerly, what has been won? What has been won? You know, it was, yes. Yeah, that was the confusion that Bhishma experienced as well, that he could not have staked her, did Vidura say that at the afterwards, that she's not actually lost? Was it him or was it the Vijay? It was one of them. I forget exactly, but yes, that's a question that remains. Sorry, Vikarna rather. Sorry. That's a question that remains. But it was accepted. It was accepted by Dhritarashtra. It was accepted by the elders. Bhishma said, "I'm unable to pronounce on this," you know. And then later he said that his intelligence had been confused because he was in the employ of Dhritarashtra, was, you know, eating his food, and so he wasn't able to think clearly at that time. Yeah, okay, well, that's a good question. You're saying, are the details of the Mahabharata authentic and true? Because obviously they've been corrupted over the years, as we're told. And there's interpolations, accretions, you know. So, I mean, yes, some people challenge whether the disrobing actually occurred. That, you know, okay, she was dragged by her hair into the assembly, but did the disrobing really occur, or is that a later interpolation? Well, the way I've dealt with that is to see, well, what does Prabhupada say? he's our link, he's our connection. He accepts the disrobing. He frequently refers to it. Other acharyas have accepted it. I've seen, you know, it's mentioned, Bilva Mangal Thakur mentions it in one of his poems. And other, you know, authorities I've seen. So that's accepted. There's what's called the critical edition of the Mahabharata, which you can read, but that leaves out quite a few of the important incidents that are accepted by Srila Prabhupada, for example. But yeah, I mean, there is some dispute sometimes over some of the details, you know. We'll just let Prayojana make his way out. Yeah. But I think, you know, that... the key incidents that we're talking about here are accepted by our authorities, so that's the best we can do. Did you want to say something? No. He was goaded into it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you can win everything back.
Yeah.
Why didn't
you
bet? Because if you win this role of that, you can win everything back.
Yeah.
So it was Duryodhana part of it, and goading him on.
Goading him on, yeah. Win it all back. And, and he was always thinking, like, okay, Krishna's in control. Like, you know, if this could happen, if he wants it to happen, then okay, let's do this, you know, see. Yeah. Okay, yes, why did Krishna let that happen? Why did he not prevent it at the outset before she was insulted? So she could surrender? She was glorified there, wasn't she, by that wonderful intervention of the Lord, and when she just gave herself up completely to him, and there's that wonderful prayer in the Mahabharata that she uttered at that time, praying to the Lord, Dwarka Vasin. Yeah. That's an important lesson, yeah. That the only real shelter and protector we have is Krishna. Even she had like the most powerful warriors in the world as her husband, five of them, and still they couldn't, somehow or another, circumstantially, they were unable to protect her. But Krishna came through. And he says, like, you know, when he met the Pandavas soon after they'd gone to the forest, he said, I was otherwise detained. What was he doing at the time? He was fighting someone. Shalva, yeah. So otherwise I'd have come there and I'd have uprooted the whole, destroyed the whole dynasty of the Kauravas immediately. So what can we do now, he said. It's too late. You know, it's like you've made your vow and your promise, you'll have to stick with it. And of course, we also know that there's a plan unfolding, right? That the Lord he came to relieve the earth's burden of all the excessive numbers of demonic kings with all their armies, you know. And they all sided with Duryodhan in the battle.